Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. We're going to go back to the phones. Going to spend just two or three more minutes on this state sovereignty movement, and we will certainly revisit it as it continues to grow legs. But we got to move on tonight. First of all, again, welcome back to the second hour of tonight's broadcast, Political Cesspool. James Edwards, Eddie Miller, Bill Rowland here and with you tonight on AM 1380 WLRM Radio, our flagship here in Memphis, Tennessee, going out around the country to our affiliates on RBN. Getting some text messaging here from, instant messaging. I'm online. We do it all. Art, our announcer, says, it's about time you got back to work, Eddie. And what was that saying we always said about the Navy Chief, Art Frith? The Chief's never right, but he always thinks he is. I mean, how'd that saying go?
The Chief is never wrong. The Admiral is sometimes wrong, but the Admiral is always the Admiral.
Okay. I knew it was something like that.
Chief's never wrong.
That one was for you, Chief. Let's go back to the phones. Doris, I wanted to give you the opportunity to conclude your thought.
Well, I was wondering if we could say that this federal debt and all this money borrowed from China is the federal government's problem and that the states, being sovereign, weren't going to go along with it.
Bill, what do you speculate might occur if something like that happened? It's all hypothetical, I guess, but never pays to look. It never hurts to look ahead.
Well, the issue of water rights and natural resources in the individual states is a very, very big one, particularly in state governments. It's the kind of thing that the public generally overlooks. But when it comes to these resources, states will fight each other in court over them, and particularly water rights. We saw that in a little skirmish between Tennessee and Mississippi a couple of years ago over the artesian well water rights. So it's a very important issue, and it's something that should be brought up to state legislators if they overlooked it, that these resources could be taken over by the federals or even a lien put on them to the Chinese or some other foreign country. And you'll notice that in the South Carolina resolution, that issue is addressed directly. That is the part of the South Carolina sovereignty resolution that said that they would not be brought under the control of either corporations or foreign countries. So they may have already gotten a taste in their mouth that something like this might be on the way. So it's very important, and once again, the federal government exploits the states in order to expand its own power, and that has got to be put to a stop. And the only way to do it is at the state level. So the Ninth and Tenth Amendments are going to become very important during the Obama administration because this is the only hope we have of stopping what is virtually a quasi-communist takeover of this country. And it's going to require a lot of courage on the part of the states and state legislators, and I hope that the human material that is governing us in these states has, the internal fortitude to stand up to the government.
Because the government has proven that laws do not matter. The United States federal government violates the Constitution every hour of every day. So a piece of paper isn't going to matter to them. It's got to be backed by something. Eddie and Edwin Vieira, like the militia as an alternative, it's got to be something more than just what the states say they're going to do, because there's no reason to believe, as we've already established, that the United States government is going to relinquish control. I mean, they didn't do it in 1861. They're not going to do it now. There's a lot more money to be made. So we'll see what happens. But it is encouraging, nevertheless. To what extent it's encouraging remains to be seen. But it's certainly more than we've had to invest in the last, decades, maybe even the last century, as far as states standing up for their rights and protecting their citizenry. And it's all about the states, of course. We're going to change subjects and move on to different topics right after this. Stay tuned, everybody. The Political Cesspool is just getting started tonight. We'll all be back to have more fun right after these words from our sponsors.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the war.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host at the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right. Thanks for the riveting and fast-paced first hour, everyone who called in. We're going to go back to the phones in just a few minutes. But first of all, we want to welcome our guest for the evening, a guest who was just on with us about a month ago, about a month to the day ago. He was made his debut appearance with us on January 31st. Craig Boddicker, the independent filmmaker, documentarian, A Conversation About Race was the name of his documentary, which was well received by our audience. I know he, like Merlin Miller, who we also visited the subject of filmmaking with last week, really had the audience enthralled. And wouldn't you know it, our attorney general agrees, or should I say their attorney general agrees with Craig Boddicker that Americans need to have a conversation about race. But for some reason, Bill, I don't think they mean the same conversation, do they?
No, but I'll begin to wonder if the attorney general didn't get the idea from Boddicker's film, from A Conversation About Race. It seems like the timing was too coincidental to be just coincidence.
Well, I know, Bill, you had a conversation about coming on the show with Craig Boddicker earlier in the week. Now, he has just made an appearance with us, and there was a special reason you wanted to pull him back on tonight and share that with us before bringing him on, Bill.
Well, since the attorney general brought up having a dialogue or a conversation about race, I thought we would go to Craig and get his opinions on what the attorney general has in mind and what the response he thinks will be from the American people. And, of course, I've got some questions for him along those lines.
Well,
Craig,
so
welcome
much,
back to the show.
Well, thank you, guys. James, Bill, thanks so much for having me on again. I really appreciate
We're going to have you on every month. It's becoming a tradition.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't object to it.
let me run this by you first, Craig. And I want to get your opinion because, again, you made the movie, A Conversation About Race. And listen, folks, we're not going to have time to revisit everything about the movie. We went through the nuts and bolts about it last time. So revisit, do yourself a favor and revisit the January 31st broadcast archive of this program available on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, if you missed it. We're bringing Craig on tonight to focus more on Eric Holder's remarks. But National Public Radio's Diane Rehm also had a conversation about race. Recently, I believe last week on her talk show about Eric Holder's Nation of Cowards speech, Craig, the guests she had on to take part in this conversation about race were as follows. John Payton, who was black, Robert Woodson, who was black, Rinke Sen, who was half Asian, half black, and Abigail Thernstrom, who was Jewish. Now, that seemed to be real inclusive to me. White people are 70% of the country, but they're not allowed to have a place at the table when it comes to a conversation about race. Just the non-whites. I think we're starting to get the picture here, Craig.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that just the most disconnected thing you can possibly imagine? White people, just by the fact that their skin is white, means that they're just incapable of thinking clearly on this whole subject.
Well, Pat Buchanan said it best. You know, whites aren't really invited to have a conversation about race. We're only invited to come and sit in the audience and be lectured to.
But, and, you know, and rent the theater.
Exactly, yeah, right. After we rent the theater, that's right. Well, you know, Craig, you got a lot of calls last time you were on with us, and you know we have a very astute audience, and I received, we talked about this last week too, and I received a very interesting email. I want to get your take on it. This came from one of our listeners who sent in some correspondence. He said that he believes that we're missing the point of Eric Holder's statement, that he's not even talking to European Americans. This listener opines that what we're seeing in this case is a black man talking to other blacks. When he says we, he means other blacks. When he says when he makes his accusations of cowardice, he's not talking about white people. That's taken for granted in the black community that we're cowards. The point being made, this listener writes, is that blacks need to stop being cowards themselves and start dictating to European Americans the extent of their guilt and the terms of their subsequent surrender. What's being given, in the opinion of this listener, is Eric Holder's marching orders. It's not a call for an honest discussion of anything. With blacks now holding the White House and many positions of power in the federal government, as well as many of the state offices, they feel that the time is now to strike. Your thoughts on that? I didn't ever see it that way, but maybe that's what he was doing in fact.
Well, that's a lot of stuff to consider, but it's actually a pretty good point. It's kind of scary, as a matter of fact. I can't believe it. That this guy, number one, will stand up and say that this Nation of Cowards thing, and nobody has a clue. Like, I think somebody mentioned that MSNBC or something did a conversation about race, and my God, look how backwards this whole issue has become.
Bill, I turn it back over to you.
Craig, you know, when I was watching the trailers to your movie, I noticed that among the whites there is a rationalization for everything that has to do with race, including, you know, our own identity as white people, that there is really a necessary fictions that appear over and over and over again to, you know, to get us through any even questions on race. Whereas, non-whites, answer directly and from their own true perspective. Do you think that Eric Holder is influenced by this at all, or that you know, he understands that white people are going to react this way, and he's just expecting that kind of reaction again to justify pursuing a certain policy, for instance, on hate crimes?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. I think that he's I don't know a lot about the guy personally, but I'm willing to assume here, I may be wrong in public, but I'm willing to assume that he's a product of the federal culture, that you see a lot of these guys that have never held a job in the real world. They've just been promoted because they're reasonably intelligent. They speak, you know, like a normal white person speaks. And so they get promoted, that the Peter principle applies. The next thing you know, these guys are in positions of power. And it just blows me away, frankly, that they can rise to a position this far. And I don't even repeat myself, but it does scare me.
Well, I want to bring this up, and I want to get Eddie to chime in on this, too, in just a moment. But you would have expected the conservative alternative in Washington, and for some deluded whites, they still believe that alternative to be the Republican Party, to have issued some sort of rebuttal in response to Eric Holder's really call to a fight. I mean, he was basically calling out whites. That's the way most rational thinking people took it. Pat Buchanan took it that way anyway. And Pat Buchanan did a great job, by the way, of debating, if you can call it that, that professor on MSNBC recently. But the Republican Party did, in fact, issue a rebuttal. But who do they get to speak for them? Bobby Jindal.
Right, right. Yeah.
Bobby Jindal. And then, as if that weren't bad enough, and if anyone saw his remarks, I'm going to get y'all to opine on it. They were very wimpish, very weak. But here it is. The Republicans find the one non-white in their party that's elected to anything to speak for them. And then Rush Limbaugh goes on and calls this guy the next Ronald Reagan. I mean, could the Republicans be any more of a joke?
We've got to get over this whole idea of if we're not inclusive, there's something wrong with our message. And it's like, wait a minute. I thought the whole idea was that before this whole election happened, that if whites didn't vote for Obama, it was proof that they were racist. Now, so whites voted for Obama. In fact, blacks and Latinos voted 95% for Obama, but yet that doesn't imply that they are racist.
Well, this is another thing, too. You know, the Republican Party's imploding. It'd be hard to do much worse than they did last November, but they're trying. I mean, they're trying to figure out a way to be more impotent than what they already are, that they've elected now this black chairman to be the national dean of the GOP National Committee. He's saying he's going to revitalize the Republican Party in a hip-hop image. And then he goes on to say, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. He goes on to say that part of his hip-hop makeover of the GOP is this message. They're going to take this into the urban areas, which, of course, translates, if you take it out of the PC jargon, into non-white areas. And the slogan's going to be that Republicans free slaves, and Democrats free terrorists. And you mentioned just a second ago, and we posted this on the Political Cesspool's blog, 95% of the non-whites voted for Obama. That means 95% of the freed slaves voted for Obama. But they just don't get it. And this is what they're doing. Bobby Jindal's their spokesman now. They got a black chairman.
In some ways, I guess he's right, because we are cowardly in the fact that we can't have white spokespeople. And that's kind of the point I made in the movie. An advocate for white people is just something that's offensive. And it's we better grow a pair and learn
Greg,
to stand up and
question.
Say, you know what? You know, if it turns out that I got to admit that this guy might be a better basketball player than this guy, then maybe this guy might be a better elected official than this guy. This guy might run a business better than this guy.
Well, Craig, let me ask you a question. Let's speculate for a second. If you could choose a spokesman for white people, let's say white Americans, who would you pick? Who would you choose to say, this guy really represents what I think and what I feel and really has a grasp of my concerns? Who would you pick?
This may be controversial, and I want to be specific to address your point that you said somebody who specifically addressed white people's issues. So I'm not talking about the government or America or anything else. You mentioned just being an advocate for white people. I would have to say Dr. David Duke.
Amen. That was going to be my choice.
Well, that is but I don't see how that's any more controversial than Al Sharpton. I mean,
what a great point.
What's the point that, you know, Al Sharpton has never been brought to task for the frauds he perpetrated that almost cost some policemen their jobs. Now, Duke's never done anything like that.
Now, can you imagine a white guy with a reputation like Sharpton ever getting any media play?
I was hoping you'd agree with me that it would be Prince Harry at some point that would sort of be the worldwide spokesman for, you know,
that's a good idea. I've seen him in costume. He looks pretty good.
I tell you, Harry gives me some hope for Great Britain, and there's not a lot of hope to be had over there. 5 seconds to break, guys. Set tight. We're going to revisit this conversation and get a little more in depth right after this on the flip side.
There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hi there. The political cesspool listeners are well-informed and proactive. Have you heard much about the killer MRSA in your area? Here's some information I'll bet you didn't know much about. We've come across doctors who don't know. Visit 12diseases.com, where you'll find an ebook about how to protect your child from the 12 diseases your mother never told you about. Guard parent. Things like deadly MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, rampant in hospitals, schools, and clinics, or Chagas, known well south of the border, and many others we might have heard about, but think, we don't have to worry about that. This is not some encyclopedia or complex medical book. You'll learn quickly about 12 emerging or re-emerging diseases that have horrible consequences for the health and well-being of your children. It's written in a plain, easy-to-read format that anyone can understand. That's 12diseases.com.
Are you worried about America?
Did you boogie with your baby in the back row of the movie show? And did you boogie there because you had nowhere else that you could go?
And now let's return to the political cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone, the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards, joined in studio tonight by my co-hosts, Bill Rowland and Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Our guest is in studio right now, Craig Boddicker, making his second appearance in the last 30 days, and we're happy to have him back. Of course, you'll remember him from January 31st's broadcast, in which we talked about his documentary, A Conversation About Race, and that's the conversation we're having right now, talking about Eric Holder, talking about the Republican Party's hip-hop makeover with the black chairman and Bobby Jindal as the new spokesman. Eddie, what do you make of all this?
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. It's a bad sign of the times. It looks like, we've been dispossessed. We've become a black nation ruled by blacks, James. Like you know, you said that not long ago. That with, I would say the Attorney General said that we need to have a discussion about race. Well, I think he ought to bring his tail on the radio station on the cesspool, and we would be glad to have a discussion about race with that guy. But
Eddie, I think you'd take him up on that.
I surely would. I wish he would come on. You know, he would never come on our program. I would love to get him to come on and debate Dr. David Duke. But you know what?
Hey, Eddie, I want you to set that up. I want you to send an email to the Attorney General's office and see if Eric Holder will debate David Duke on this show.
Wow.
Let's just see.
I could get him to come, but he would...
How far do you think that would get?
I could get him on, but all my guests seem to back out in the past 10 minutes before the show comes on. But You know, that would really be interesting. He would never have the guts to come on our show.
But there's no question of that. But, hey, Craig, how do you think that debate would end? I mean, now we're just getting into fantasy land. We got to get back to reality in just a second here, but this is just a short segment, so indulge me. How do you think that hypothetical debate would go?
Well, I think really it depends on the rules of the debate. If you had an honest debate, I think that Dr. Duke would floor him. But, of course, it would be an Oprah debate, and then, you know, he'd get the big applause lines. And so, of course, who knows, the Attorney General would probably prevail if it was on the mainstream media.
Yeah, but no, Eddie's talking about having it on this show.
Oh, well, no question about it. Dr. Duke would floor him.
Oh, he's slaughtering. But, you know, we're going to have to get some cojones and start standing up to people and say, yeah, we are racist. We are racialists. You know, we started this country, by whites, for whites, and if they don't like it, to heck with them. You know,
well, as Pat Buchanan said, you know, I guess the correct term, not that we're politically correct at all, but we're race realists. I mean, we know what the crime statistics are, and we're aware of these things. There are certain parts of different cultures that we want to keep at arm's length from our own family. But as Pat Buchanan said, I mean, this country has been far more kind to the non-natives than any other country in the world, certainly better than their places of origin. And yet, all we are reminded of day after day after day in media and entertainment and academia, on the streets, popular culture, are the sins we never committed. But Craig, pick it up from there. I mean, you know, we're reminded about how evil we are when, in fact, the exact opposite is true. White America has been better to the non-whites and blacks and everyone else in the world than any other country in the history of civilization. That's what Pat Buchanan said. We've heard the grievances. Where's the gratitude?
Well, I'd like to chime in just one second on that. As you know, everybody knows me knows that I'm an RN, registered nurse. If you can go to any hospital, probably in the United States, I know in Tennessee, and you'll see they were just overloaded with indigents off the street, and they're all black and Hispanic. They don't pay a nickel, and the working class white folks like us are the ones that picks up the bill.
Well, Eddie, as people may or may not know in the listening audience, Eddie works in the healthcare industry, and the conversations we have on the air aren't half as animated as those Eddie would share with you off the air. You know, but, you know, listen, if you live in the real world, if you live in a diverse area, quote unquote, you see the truths, and you're much more rooted in the actuality of these things than these politically correct do-gooders. Am I right, Craig?
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Bill?
Longest question in the world, shortest answer.
Sorry, that's the answer for radio, I know.
Craig, one of the things, you know, do you feel like, now the people you interviewed in your documentary, did you get the impression that this was a matter of just ingratitude on the part of the non-whites who answered your questions in the documentary, or do you feel like that this was something they definitely had been conditioned to say through the education system or through politics or whatever?
Well, I would say that, you know, through the education system, I'd lean towards that answer, and I would try to streamline it towards character. I think that we used to teach character, and we don't teach it anymore. And so things like gratitude that we used to, you know, try to instill in our young people, they just don't really matter anymore. And I think that there's a big industry, as we all know, there's a big anti-white industry out there that would have to all go out and get real jobs if we all woke up and said, you know what, Al Sharpton, are you kidding me? I mean, I would like to see you go out and sell shoes for a day. I really don't think you could do it.
Did you meet any members of ACORN who were interviewed on your that you found on your documentary while you were on the search for?
Boy, what a question! I tried my best to be objective, but I'm not sure I could be objective in the presence of an ACORN member.
hold it right there, guys! Another break here. We're going to continue on with documentary filmmaker Craig Boddicker right after this on the Political Cesspool. Don't go anywhere.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. The because you can handle the truth.
Now that the election is over and the shock is beginning to wear off, Ready Reserve Foods, in an effort to get as many Americans prepared for the promised changes of the new administration and to help you and your family survive the global economic crash, Ready Reserve is offering the pre-inauguration special. Between now and January 20th, 2009, all food units U1 through U7 are being offered at wholesale prices. That's a 33% savings. A year's supply of meals starts as low as 73 cents per meal. Ready Reserve Food offers only the highest quality dehydrated food, packed in double enameled cans in an inert nitrogen atmosphere, allowing a 15-plus year shelf life. Ready Reserve has been manufacturing since 1972, giving them the freedom to offer you amazing savings. Great-tasting Ready Reserve Foods at wholesale prices. Order now at ReadyReserveFoods.com or call today, 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama Brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. And with that being said, the phone lines are once again open. Let's open up those floodgates and once again get inundated with provocative and thoughtful phone calls from around the country, as we always are each and every week. Our listening audience never lets us down. 1-800-313-9443. Give us a call. We are, once again, talking. We're having a conversation about race, as it were, with filmmaker Craig Boddicker, who directed the documentary, appropriately enough titled, A Conversation About Race. Now, Craig, I tell you, and this goes for everyone out there, if you want to know the news about 2 days before it happens, go to the Political Cesspool's blog, because we have become seers. I said, and it's not too hard to figure out how things are going to turn out sometime, when Bobby Jindal gave his rebuttal of Eric Holder, I said Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh were just going to fawn all over him, and certainly they did. In having this conversation about race, it's come to our attention that there are a lot of things that whites can't conversate about, one of which happens to be certain fruits and vegetables.
Right, absolutely right, fruits and vegetables.
A couple of days ago, you might have read, it's a story that came out of a small town in California but got picked up widely by the Associated Press. A mayor, his name was Dean Gross in Los Alamitos, California, sent out a pretty basic email saying that this is what the White House Easter egg hunt was going to look like this year. And it was just a fairly innocuous picture of the White House lawn with a bunch of watermelons on it. And I said about 2 days before it happened that this guy was his goose was cooked, so to speak. And sure enough, Los Alamitos Mayor Dean Gross has been forced to resign for sending an email with a picture of the White House lawn with a bunch of watermelons on it. Now, no one has explained, Craig, just why the email was so bad. What's so insulting about saying that blacks have a fondness for watermelon? And what's so terrible about liking watermelon? Craig, what's going on?
It's such a great point. It really is, James, that these are words that we're just not allowed to say, even though we're supposed to have this candid conversation about race. They're like fruits and vegetables. These are things that we're just not allowed to bring up. Even the nonsensical ones, like the watermelon. Like what exactly does that mean again? Why is that exactly a bad thing against blacks? Other things that we're not allowed to say. We're not allowed to make references to apes, chimps, gorillas. We're not allowed to say boy. Any of these things, these are words that you're just like, back off, buddy. You're a racist if you use any of these words. So it's like, how can we have a conversation if half of our ammunition is, you know, off limits?
Well, you know, Clint Eastwood is lining up on our side of the fence on these things. Not only did he make a very good movie, Gran Torino, which was a recent release and very politically incorrect, he actually went to the press and talked about how much he hates political correctness, saying that he hates having to walk on pins and needles worrying about whether or not an innocent comment is going to get him called a racist or this, that, and the other. He said growing up, everyone would make fun of each other's ethnicity and nationality, and it was just par for the course. It wasn't anything to be afraid of. And now, as he went on to say, you're facing criminal charges for just speaking your mind to those in your private company or in public. It shouldn't matter. But
I always had a lot of respect for Mr. Eastwood.
You know, at 79 years old, he's still full of fire.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Again, the number, 1-800-313-9443. We'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Mishko. Mishko, you're on the air.
Great show, guys.
Thank you very much, and thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you again.
Nice to hear you guys. I got to tell you, hey, Craig, what the heck happened with your PayPal? I tried to purchase the video that you made or the movie that you made, and it looks like, did PayPal dump you or what happened there?
No, as far as I know, knock on wood, I get orders every day.
I'm going to have to go back there and look. I just want to mention a couple things, and this is just from a perspective which I hopefully you guys will agree with, but everything evil that's going on around in our society and on the world really goes back to what the Jews have done. When I talk about the Federal Reserve, civil rights, the ADL, SPLC, ACLU, multiculturalism, diversity, everything goes back to them. Hell, they took Rhodesia, the breadbasket of Africa, and turned it into Zimbabwe, which our country is going to do, which is going to happen to us. They did the same thing to South Africa. And if you look at Rhodesia as an example, now Zimbabwe, they had 4,500 white farmers in that nation. Now they're down to 400. And it's kind of odd that people will state the statistics that now, well, Zimbabwe only produces 10% of what they did before. Well, yeah, you killed all the people that were producing. You kicked them off their land, you took everything, and now you just kind of squat there. But the reason for my call is how do we address this Jewish problem? I mean, because if we battle them logically and with facts, we're automatically named racist and haters. And these are the people that are promoting everything. I mean, the whole issue with black violence, the mestizo situation, the open borders, that's a result of what they've done. I mean, we need to kind of, I almost feel like we need to really address the Jewish issue first and attack that. And even Pat Buchanan, I mean, the CFCC, I mean, they're labeled a hate site. You know, I mean, it's getting to the point where it's ridiculous. If you mention, I mean, Williamson, the cardinal, the bishop, I mean, they want to take him back to Germany and try him under hate laws for speaking his mind and telling the truth.
Well, I think, Mishko, what you're saying is there's just no doubt about it. I think sometimes maybe we Sidetracked chasing different issues. But if you trace it back to the root of it all, and I don't mind saying this, and I don't think anybody with much intelligence can dispute it, that yes, I mean, and in fact, what you're saying is so provable that it's almost elementary, and the fact that it is so obvious is maybe the reason we don't talk about it every show. But no, you're absolutely right. There would have never been a civil rights movement. I mean, it wasn't a civil rights movement at all. It was about the display. It was a Marxist movement. It was about the displacement of our people and our country. If it wasn't for Jewish and Zionist influence. I mean, they are absolutely the moving factor and the motivating factor of every left-wing egalitarian and anti-white, anti-American movement that's ever taken place on this soil, as far as every substantial one that's been successful, I should say. How to deal with it? I mean, hell, if I had the answer, I'd certainly put it into play, but I don't know. I'll turn that over to Craig and everyone else. I mean, how do we go about solving problems?
Well, I've seen the statistics. I think that you're talking about, and I don't you know, go over the line and say, okay, here's my position on this and that. But I will say, yeah, if you do any historical research, you can say, well, you know what, time after time, you can isolate groups of people and say, hey, these people acted pretty terribly. I mean, we certainly have done it with the Germans. I mean, the Germans are just the worst people in the world for their behavior during a particular war, World War II. I think that what's wonderful about our founding documents is this freedom of speech that people are so eager to throw away. Now we can say, you know what, we think that Jews particularly have been active in a lot of these left-wing causes. And because we say that, instead of saying, you know what, that's kind of a right-wing position, we're told that that's a hate position. And I think that's wrong. What that is it's a right-wing position. It's a position from somebody saying, you know what, these people are alien. They're not the same as the founders of this country. And, you know, there's nothing evil in saying that.
Well, I certainly wouldn't have a problem if everything that they did benefited the founding stock of this nation, if they were here to be team players and to assimilate, but that is not what they're doing, and that's not what they've done in any country that they've ever been a part of, and that's unfortunate. I don't hate them for who they are, but I'm very much offended at what they want for my family and what they're trying to do with the laws of this country and the way that they've subverted our institutions and taking them and using them against us. I have a big problem with that. And we should be able to speak candidly and frankly about who is a primary driving force in everything that's going wrong with this country. And we should be able to talk about it and talk about ways that we are going to battle for that control back of about our nation, our government, our institutions of higher learning and entertainment, and as you've already mentioned, it's hateful to think that we should do anything other than fall on our swords and die for the people trying to displace us.
If I could just mention something that's really kind of funny to me is, like, during I guess it was the primaries, Obama really was just like a black guy standing up there. It wasn't until Lieberman took him in front of AIPAC, and then he went to, I don't know if during that time he went, because I've seen pictures of him in front of the Wailing Wall with his yarmulke or doily or whatever the hell you want to call that, the hat on, is that's when he started getting press coverage.
Nobody is going to make headway in a major political race, whether it be Senate or U.S. Congress or certainly the president, unless they go before AIPAC and get their approval. Unless they go with the yarmulke on to the Wailing Wall, there is no doubt about it. The new boss is the same as the old boss. Obama is no more or less dangerous than George Bush because they are both owned and operated by the same puppet master. And it couldn't be more clear than that.
Well, yeah, and I think that I saw that statistic. I believe that, where did I say? I believe it was David Duke's website, as a matter of fact, about the racial makeup at Harvard.
Yeah, it's like 95% Jewish.
What I saw, what was startling to me was that the amount of white students that were there was 22%, and the amount of Jewish students was 22%.
And then, of course, compare that to their percentage of the overall population, and then you have the point of it all.
Right. It's just amazing. Whites are
the other 60% of Harvard is black,
and they're only 22% of the students at Harvard. I guess it comes down to lots of this issue of diversity again, where I mean, we celebrate our own demise. I mean, I can't believe people would get wrapped up into this scam called diversity.
Bill, do you have a thought on all this?
Well, there, of course, when you're talking about history, let's get to the history point for a second. You're talking about a very selective historical perspective, okay? You know, the Italians in this country were quite rightly connected with organized crime in the early part of the century because they were involved in it. They were heavily involved in organized crime, particularly Italians from Sicily. And this fact is never disputed by historians. It's never disputed when the issue of organized crime is brought up. The Italians are involved, and the finger is pointed right at them and said, this is the group that was largely responsible for violent organized crime in this country. The Italians don't deny it. You know, they say it was not a good part of our history. We're glad most of it's over, and so forth. During World War II, the Japanese along the West Coast were rounded up, and they were put in concentration camps. And yet, this is never portrayed as a gigantic attempt at genocide or injustice or, you know, a part of a government putting people in concentration camps. You know, there are no huge memorials every year at the Manzanar site. There are no, you know, attempts to portray, you know, big pictures of these people dragging through, you know, manual labor or anything in order to make them victims. You know, that's pretty much all forgotten now. But in the case of some groups, you know, the Jews in particular, history seems to revolve around everything that's happened to them. And that's what's really wrong here, is the idea that World War II was fought to liberate concentration camps. It's just an absolute falsehood. And it's a distortion of history that has been exploited by groups like the ADL, that has been exploited by the World Jewish Congress, that has been exploited all over the world to justify actions on their part that exploit us.
Well, that is such a valid point. And the ironic twist on that is that in World War II, when the big Americans came and big industry came and defeated those awful Germans, well, now it's like, wait a minute, now it's like white people were the bad people in that. How dare us? We you know, we were the ones that burned the Jews. And it's like, well, no, I thought we were the ones that saved the Jews.
Yeah, damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? I mean, that's a good observation.
I mean, it's like, you know, the truth is we've got this perverse relationship between our government and the media that was founded in the 20th century, and we're not going to fix any of this until we break that, until we all grow up and say, you know what, we've got to stop worshiping celebrities, we've got to stop getting our news from celebrities. We've got to start being literate people, being able to. I don't know. I think it might be dreaming right there.
Well,
but I mean, remember that movie? It came out recently, Idiocracy, where people just kept getting dumber and dumber.
Exactly. I saw that film, and I'll tell you, Idiocracy did not get put into general distribution the way it should have because I think it hit too many nerves.
Maybe, you know? Yeah.
This is a movie by Mike Judge, who is a very successful cartoon maker. As you know, he's King of the Hill and Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
All of those are Mike Judge cartoons. And so he went into this movie with a lot of studio cred. I mean, he had a lot behind him to, I think, demonstrate the possibility of creating some really, really profitable films. But Idiocracy was sort of shoved into the shadows. And I think the reason is because it's so vividly and ruthlessly portrays particularly white Americans as being too dumb to vote and being too dumb to have their own government. And
yeah,
I
would
exactly
say the
right.
Film is also horribly miscast, and I think Mr. Judge might have kind of phoned it in a little bit, but the idea is the scary. Yeah, we are just getting dumber and dumber. As long as we've got an internet to watch and TV to watch and fast food, everything's fine. The world can just go to hell.
Well,
exactly.
That's exactly where it's going. Thanks in part to, of course, the powers that be that we were just mentioning. 2 minutes before the break, I want to work in another call. James in Lynchburg, Virginia. Let's go to James in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Good evening. I was listening to your show, and I heard a commercial by one of your sponsors about racial integrity. And what do y'all mean by that? What do you mean by that? I was just reading the genealogy of Christ. And in his genealogy, you have Rahab the harlot, Ruth, who was not an Israelite, and Bathsheba, all the genealogy of Christ. But that commercial said that racial integrity as God intended, and even Moses married an Ethiopian.
Okay, stop right there.
I don't see the
stop
racial
right
integrity
first
you're
all,
talking about.
First of all, the Rahab that you're referring to, there's no indication in the Bible that the Rahab you're referring to, and is in fact, if you put a date on the genealogies, the Rahab in the ancestry of Christ is not the same one as the prostitute. Second, Bathsheba was an Israelite and married to a Hittite, not not a Hittite herself. The same was true. And if you want to go into this issue of, if you want to go into the issue of racial integrity in Jesus Christ, that's why you're given his genealogy.
Right.
Because it's proof that he's a pure descent from Judah. Okay. And if you go to the very history of Judah and where Judah's sons came from, you'll see that God struck the two sons dead who were of mixed race that Judah had. Ur being one of them and Onan being the other. They were struck dead by God because he hated them. And the two children that were legitimate by him, he had with his daughter-in-law, who was a Hebrew, an Israelite.
All right, Bill, we're proving that we will talk about anything on this show, and we'll do it to the best of our ability. And we're going to pick this up. We're not going to shy away from this topic or this question. But we got 5 seconds to break. We're going to have to pick it up on the other side. Set tight, everyone. More to come.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. You never know when an emergency will strike. Whether it's a hurricane, tornado, blizzard, or earthquake, everyone listening to me right now could find themselves without food and power with little or no advance warning. With over 14 years' experience, Ready Made Resources stands ready to assist you to be prepared. The Keita-Den Vario Microfilter is a lightning-fast water filtering system that removes waterborne bacteria and cysts, and it also improves the taste of water. Ready Made Resources carries Mountain House Foods, the number one lightweight, compact, great-tasting food choice that you should have stored away as part of your emergency preparedness kit. There's free shipping on both of these items. For more information, go online at www.readymaderesources.com or call toll-free 1-800-627-3809. Ready Made Resources is here to help you be prepared.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Let's return to the political cesspool and our own bunch of rebels, the political cesspool guys.
All right, Bill, a provocative question right before the last break. I want to give you a chance to finish your rebuttal.
Well, you know, this is the thing. People call in thinking we don't know anything about theology and hermeneutics, and we do in certain cases. But I wanted to mention the often referenced scriptural reference to Moses' wife being black. And in fact, what it says was that she was an Ethiopian, which is actually a translation, a mistranslation of Cushite. And the Cushites were people who were from the land of Midian, where Moses' wife, where he met her. She was the daughter of Jethro, and Jethro's lineage is from Abraham. And in fact, he's mentioned in the lineage of from Abraham. So you see, these people who make assumptions about what they read in the Bible don't know enough about the Bible to make those assumptions. But they're always willing to throw something at you in the attempt to prove that the multicultural false gods they worship are scriptural gods, and they're not. So that's my answer to the man in Virginia, is you need to study more about the Bible before you make a fool out of yourself on the radio. Okay?
Well said, Bill.
Hey, Eddie, it's good to know you're still awake on your side of the studio. I know we haven't had a chance to get to you with so many callers, and we're not used to getting back into the three-host rotation.
Well, you know, I just make one note, but one comment. You know, in the old days, we used to talk on the cesspool all the time. Why we couldn't understand the, the way the Protestant churches just almost worship, the Jews. And I'm no Bible scholar by a long shot, but you know, Paul destroyed the hell out of that idea. You can, what little Bible scholar I am. Matter of fact, I was just going over the third chapter of Galatians the other day. I challenge anybody to read Paul, his letter to the Galatians, and read the third chapter, study it. If you're like me, you're kind of slow, and then come back and tell me that the Jews are the chosen people. You know, I was just looking here a minute ago. If I just can read this little chapter, right, this little old verse or two, it says, "For ye all are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." For as many as you have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female or female. For ye all are one in Jesus Christ. And if ye be Jesus Christ, Christ with apostrophe S, meaning possessive, if you belong to Christ, there you are the Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So there, that crap about the Jews being a chosen people is that's all that is, a bunch of crap as far as I'm concerned.
Eddie, you have to be careful there, because the multiculturalists will latch on to the neither Jew nor Greek thing. And, I think they should be reminded that the Jews and Greeks were still white people. They're not sort of a different race. And so they often latch on to that, which I think is in Galatians.
All right, set tight, Pastor. Right. Pastor Bill, Pastor Eddie, we'll be back right
back. Leaving Craig out of the loop here.
We'll be right back.
Don't go away. There's still one more hour of The Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
With recent